If you were here for Flower Communion in 2012, some of what I'm about to say may sound familiar. I wanted to repeat some of it because it seems so particularly appropriate to this time in our lives. But always I feel like I want to start by just gazing at these flowers and calling our attention to the beauty of them. Such an amazing variety. I love like the roses here with their many, many petals next to callas that are just one petal wrapped around. There are way more than I know the names of here, and different smells and colors and shapes. Did you know there are hundreds of thousands of different kinds of flowering plants on this planet? And they grow in a marvelous profusion of shapes and colors and scents. I mean, we only have the smallest sampling of the Earth's flowers before us here, and we can see just how varied they are. And from the ones of all the different colors and the ones that are tiny little flowers clustered together to ones that are one great blossom, ones that have lovely smells and unpleasant smells and no smell we can detect, they all have something in common. They are their plants' reproductive systems. We're not shy talking about this stuff. We've all done our whole lives. A flower is the plant's way of making more plants. Pretty essential. This is one of the things every species needs to do, produce more the next generation of that species. And you would not think that it requires such astounding variety, but luckily for us and the beauty of our planet, variety is the name of the game in evolution. And the variety is greater than you might imagine. So take a moment to think of the different shapes that flowers take, the ones you see before you, others you might think of, what you might draw if somebody said, draw a flower. Okay, now, did you know that you are eating the flower of the plant when you eat an artichoke? Here's a picture. Oops, I went back to my artichoke. Flowers, technology, complicated. Yeah, so with an artichoke, it's pretty obvious, you know? They look like flowers when you think about it. There's also, that's also what you're doing when you eat corn on the cob. Less obviously. That's the flower of a plant. And so is cauliflower. The name's kind of a giveaway, but there it is. And broccoli becomes particularly obvious if you leave your broccoli a little too long and the florets start to open into little tiny yellow flowers. That's hundreds of flowers right there. Also, when you eat a fig is a very interesting flower, kind of an inverted flower. That is the reproductive system of the fig tree right there. So, flowers take a lot more shapes than the ones that we just think of. So you might add those shapes to the shapes that flowers come in your mind. And they're also even more varied than we can detect with our senses. So two flowers that look very alike to most of us humans will look very different to, for example, bees. And we know how important bees are to flowering plants. Bees see color very differently than we do. For one thing, as far as biologists have been able to discover, they can't see the color red at all, and they find it hard to spot a red flower in front of green leaves. That can be a problem when you're a bee, also a problem for the flower. But one color that bees do see is ultraviolet, a color that we can't see, although our instruments can show us that it's there. And it's really cool to look at photos that make ultraviolet visible to our eyes so that we can see flowers the way bees and some other insects probably see them. Now, I've seen some of these with colors kind of imagined because we don't really know how the insects see them. But here are some pictures that are taken just with ultraviolet light that reveals a whole new world. So up on top is how we tend to see the flower. We have full color vision. And down below is a bee's eye view, as best as we know. And you can see one thing about it. The place the bee needs to go to get the nectar, the place the flower needs the bee to go to pick up the pollen, is really kind of a target right in the middle. That's often the case. And here's this whole world, how things look to a bee. That flower has a whole kind of detail leading the way to the center that bees see that we don't. There, the one on the right, is how the pollinators see it. And they're pretty, huh?
Back to our artichoke.
Actually, I'll just do that. So, I'm all right, right? So when we describe the color of a flower, we might say that it's white or pink or red or yellow or purple, but we should remember it's also ultraviolet. Our eyes can't see that color, but other eyes, very important eyes, can. Now why don't flowers just come all in one shell, shape and color? It's just the way things are, the gift of the universe. Variety is one of the things that makes life possible. Because an ecosystem that has many different kinds of plants has more flexibility to survive all kinds of stresses and changes, and the variety is proposed in response to stresses and changes. Still, one could imagine a world of thousands of different plants whose flowers all have the same basic shape and color, but that's not the way things work in our worlds. As Annie Dillard writes, after the one extravagant gesture of creation in the first place, the universe has continued to deal exclusively in extravagances. And nowhere is this extravagance, this generosity and creativity, clearer than in the glorious variety of flowers. Except maybe in the glorious variety of people. Look at us. Here we are, all members of a single species. And, you know, a fairly homogenous slice of this species. And we all have to do pretty much the same thing, be born and die and eat and breathe in between. We could all be the same, but we're not. We take so many forms. We have so many different ways of looking at things. So many quirks of how we talk and the things we like to do. As long as we're paying attention to this variety, being with people can never be boring. Just as a walk in a garden or a meadow of wildflowers will show us as much beauty and interest as anyone can take in if we are open to the experience. And just as the flowers look different through the eyes of a bee, people look different through different eyes. If we have trouble seeing the beauty in someone, you might say if their colors are not clear to us, then something we can do is pretend we are looking through the eyes of someone else. Their mother, perhaps, or their best friend, or a person they have just helped, and maybe we will see them differently. Or we can consider, are we trying to evaluate them to decide whether they're beautiful or interesting enough for us to bother with? Maybe we can put aside our judging eyes and simply observe them. Take them in. This helps us to notice things that judgment hides, but that open-hearted looking can discover. It's like being given a new set of eyes, like looking through a microscope. Like being able to peek for a moment at the world through the eyes of an insect. This amazing experience is available to every single one of us at any moment just by deciding to see someone through different eyes than we have tried before. Of course, I'm not just talking about how people look on the outside. It's about how we are on the inside. That's something that takes a different kind of vision. In fact, it doesn't take eyes at all. We have to get to know someone to know what they are really like. One thing is for sure. As a favorite show of my daughter's and mine says, people are bigger on the inside. This is why, as Antoine de Saint-Exupéry writes in The Little Prince, it is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. We are a great big botanical garden of flowers of every shape and size, color and fragrance. We take unexpected forms, like the flowers that are figs and corn on the cob. And we have qualities that are hidden to those who only take one passing, judging glance, but that may be discovered by those who are willing to know us with the heart. We, each one of us, you and you and you and you and me, are wonders yet to be discovered. One of the greatest gifts that we can give another person is to try to know them in a new way. But what's even more wonderful is that getting to know people in a different way is one of the greatest gifts we can give ourselves. You know, we wouldn't go to Filoli or Gamble Gardens and walk around with our eyes covered up and our nose pinned shut. Although even with flowers, sometimes we take them for granted. We think we know what a rose looks like, and we don't really look. We think we know what it smells like, so we don't spend time just breathing it in and experiencing it, maybe noticing something new. We barely use our other senses at all. So today, after we take our flowers, let's really get to know them. Let's notice something that one quick glance wouldn't be enough to tell us. And let's pay attention to a person in a way we don't always take the trouble to do. Not breezing past them, or thinking we already know the most important things about them, but really listening, really observing, putting aside judgment and expectations, and just taking it in, who they really are. A whole garden of beauty is sure to open up before us.